Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 594, HBO, the cornerstone of the Halo community at PAX, recorded in Seattle during PAX Prime on September 3rd, 2017, with special guests including members from CMT SPV3, Sins of the Prophets, Installation 01, and lore commentators.
Hello everyone, this is Dust Storm with Podtacular. We are here at PAX 2017. We are on day 3, Sunday, and we have a lot of Halo people in the house. I think this is probably the first convention I've seen so many Halo people. But let's go ahead and go around the room with who we have.
Hi, my name is Lavo, and I'm the design lead at Sins of the Prophets.
Hi there, I am Ian Browning-Smith, a.k.a. Toa Freak, a.k.a. Halo Cannon.
Hang on, I'm going to give you some...
And we're doing this live, so there's going to be lots of interruptions.
And then, and somebody just entered the room. Who are you?
I'm the skinnier bean.
And he does Installation 01.
He's the chunkier bean, actually.
That was the chunkier bean, the project lead of Installation 01. I am Greg Wozdyk. I don't have an alias anymore. I've abandoned it because I'm an adult. And I am the lead artist of Installation 01. And I'm going to pass the mic. Excuse the handling noise.
On to our next kid, apparently.
This is Unikraken, the lead developer for Sins of the Prophets.
Yeah.
And this is Taras. I am Late Night Gaming on YouTube.
All right. So we have quite a few new people, actually, on the podcast, many of which you've heard of before.
Pretty exciting.
But you are new, and were you on our show for this?
Maybe last year. I don't think I was.
No, okay. So we have two new folks on the show, which is awesome. Meeting a whole bunch of new Halo people this weekend has been quite amazing. I didn't actually meet him.
So we'll
personally,
just, we'll
so. Just that. But anyways.
You're very, it is in your good fortune that he is cringe incarnates.
We can cut this in. Anyway, moving on.
Anyways.
So how about that weather?
Anyway, so we're on day 3 of PAX. It has been pretty much Halo-less, except for the 343 community, which most of us... Were all of us here, I think?
Yeah, yeah.
Were you here? Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. It was the most fun I've had
definitely there.
So far.
I remember that sexy face.
Ooh la la.
It's a face for radio.
Wait, what?
I love you.
Mère.
Well... So we have Masters joining the circle. Welcome to the crazy, that is the Podtacular podcast.
Yeah, what's up for the live podcast?
Introduce yourself, man.
Oh, yeah, I'm Masters. Masters 1337, lead developer on SPV3, known hater of Halo 2.
And for those who don't know, we are actually kind of doing dual things here. So while this is a recorded podcast that's being released after PAX is over, Masters is actually doing a live stream right now, so you may have seen some of his stuff on his live stream, but we are doing a podcast kind of in tandem. They're doing a Q&A over there, and we're kind of doing a pack.
We just got another one to join the group.
Yeah, let's go ahead and introduce him. Say what your name or alias is and what you're associated with.
I'm Jamie Maria. I'm Suken Destroy on the SOTP team. I'm one of the modelers that works on it, mostly Forerunner stuff, and it's my first time at PAX.
Awesome.
First and not the last. And by COTP, he means Sins of the Prophets, which is a really awesome space Halo RTS mod for Sins of a Solar Empire.
S-O-T-P.
S-O-T-P. What did I say?
S-T-O-P.
C-O-T-P.
It's all good.
No one ever said spelling was my strong suit.
Anyways.
COTP, Cash of the Prophets.
Bling, bling, y'all.
So we've had actually all of these communities represented on the podcast at one point, which is pretty amazing, but this is the first time we've actually been able to see everyone together in this context before. And Halo was actually kind of a small presence this year, and as I just mentioned, we were at 343 for Community Day, which was on Friday. We got to see the Halo Museum, we got to see a few presentations, as well as some new content that's going to be coming out in the next couple of weeks, including Terminus Firefight and Awakening the Nightmare. We got to do playtest some of the upcoming changes for Halo 5, and got to see a whole bunch of other cool content and experiences at the studio. So this being kind of a Halo-less year, we know next year is going to be pretty big, and we've whittled down from about 7 to start to now to 4 somehow. But we got one coming back. So for the people that have, this isn't their, your first, for the people to hear that this is your first experience at PAX, what have you guys thought so far of being newcomers to Seattle and to PAX?
Hello, I am Greg Wozdyk.
You already introduced yourself.
So this is my first experience at PAX. This is my first experience in Seattle. And this is my first time meeting like anyone. This is my first time meeting anyone, physically, you know,
as opposed to spiritually.
Well, yeah, as opposed to discordantly, you know what I mean? But yeah, it's been pretty damn fun. I have just been having a great time. It's been fantastic. I don't have a job yet. I mean, I have a job, but I haven't sniped a job.
Throwing that out there. I'm unemployed.
I am perfectly employed, but I haven't sniped a job higher up on the ladder yet.
Okay.
Which, I mean, it's a cynical reason to be here, but honestly, like, it's fun to come here and look at stuff. But like when it comes to actually engaging, buying a bunch of gear, that's just kind of just not me. Like when I come to places like this, I want to see people experimenting with it. I want to see like the VR building, you know, where people have a whole bunch of prototype everything. I just like messing with that. I like being a part of that. I like seeing it develop and grow. So I don't want to say the convention scene is not for me, because it definitely is. But for the people, you know, not for the convention. And so, I mean, I'm glad to really be here with all of you, but it could have been anywhere. You know what I mean? I love you guys. Oh, wait. News.
We love you too, man. Get in here.
They're hugging.
Boy, that's an intimate hug. It's not a group hug. That was just a regular old twosome. There's nothing special about it.
But that's gay.
So we have a lot of things going on with PAX that usually happens whenever there's Halo, as far as meeting up with community people, being able to play new stuff, and granted that wasn't on the show 4, but was there anything that kind of stuck out to you personally as far as a PAX experience, or was it mostly just kind of meeting the community and just being able to hang out with other people that share common interests? Because that's kind of what the Halo community boils down to.
I would say it's definitely the candid and really down-to-earth conversations that I've been able to have with people who have been kind of inaccessible. Like, really high ups at 343, Marty O'Donnell. I had a conversation with him about how stupid it is that PSVR doesn't have built-in audio, that Sony, of all companies, does not have dedicated audio hardware in their VR headsets. It doesn't make any sense to either of us, and I'm glad he agrees. Yeah, and it's stuff like that, like little conversations like that, that, like, you know,
remind you that everyone's human.
You know,
Taras and Unicrag just got done cracking up over nothing.
I'm just so cute, you know.
He really is. He's like a little peach.
He's just got a nice round little face. It's sweet.
I mean, that's really the beauty of the Halo community during PAX. We all get together.
They all become cute.
We all get to see each other. We get to interact. We get to meet for the first time. You know, and we're cute.
Definitely. The best part of PAX has been coming out, meeting people, interacting with them. I said on Friday, I'll say it again here. I've been saying it all day, really. But after Friday, when the 343 meetup, meeting everybody, some for the first time, some for subsequent times, just that made PAX, that right there.
Dustin, I was actually going to ask you how you, I guess just because you're seeing a lot of new faces now and stuff, and you've been doing this for a little bit now. So I guess, is there this like kind of nice warm feeling of seeing all these like new faces so excited, and you're just like, I remember when I was like you, tiny and innocent.
I know, right?
I remember when I was tiny and cute.
That's tiny, what?
Yeah, I know, that's kind of an oxymoron with my height. There is kind of a big difference from when I first came to PAX. Granted, PAX was a lot smaller and not as crazy to get passes and not as overwhelmed and saturated with a lot of the gaming industry stuff.
Are you saying it's growing as time goes on?
Well, the funny thing is, it's growing, but it's still capped.
Okay.
So it's even harder to get in, and then the experiences of PAX are ever-changing and whatnot, and there was always this kind of, for me, going into it, this interest of a whole bunch of different things in gaming. And now, since I've gotten older, obviously, my time is very limited, so I'm focused more on Halo. And PAX, to me, has become the Halo family reunion. So it is really neat to see new Halo people come in, be able to kind of get into the greater community and really be able to just mesh and have a great time. And I know I'm not as excited about PAX specifically anymore, but I am excited to meet new Halo fans and other people that are in the community.
The atmosphere of the community has been changing. Like, as the new faces, have they been adding like some kind of new thing that wasn't there before?
And they keep getting cuter.
Not to say that they're like improving it, but like, has it just been gradually changing the overall atmosphere of the community?
Yeah, I think it's a very positive influence to have so many new community members that really broadens perspectives and helps just widen the viewpoints that the overall community has. And to me, that's building more leaders within the Halo community that really reinforces why we love the game so much and why we hang out with the people that we do.
And also to push like ideas forward.
Oh, by the way, who is this?
Oh yeah, you're new, so go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah, so I'm Hidden Xperia. I'm being called over there, but I'm not going yet.
Yo guys, I'll be one sec.
Yeah, I'm Hidden Xperia. You'll probably know me from the Flood, I'd assume. And iconic stuff as well, so yeah. Yeah, as I was saying, so like the more new community leaders that you get, like obviously it reinforces the community, but at the same time you also get people that want something changed in Halo or whatever, they can build like a strong platform to push that change. Like, you'll probably know what I've been doing with the art style. Like, I legit believe that the old art style was across the board most, like 95% better. And clearly people agree with me. So like, a lot of people do at least. So, I mean, without saying like a dick or anything, like people do want that nostalgic feel back. So new community leaders can be really used to like push these narratives that, what's the term? To appeal to the vocal minority. The quiet majority. That's the one. Silent majority. Yeah.
There is no silent majority. Stop lying. I get, of course.
Right.
As he shushes you to make you the silent majority.
Exactly.
I played myself.
And you bring up a good point, because it's really something that you don't hear a lot of, I guess, us as community influencers really making a whole big fuss over some things. Granted, we're out there and present and we're making our peace, but we're not trying to jump in or interject into conversations kind of outside our own mediums. But I think a lot of people here represent a good variety of Halo content. I mean, Mythic Tyrant was in here earlier. Granted, he couldn't stay. He had to get to bed. But we have lore people here. We have mod people here. We have original content creators. We have Nick the Tyrant, who does the legendary speedruns. And we have Masters, that does the mod for Halo CE on PC. It's very vast experiences. So it's just an awesome atmosphere to see such a variety of Halo leaders. And you see a lot of content creators here, and it's just awesome to see everyone coming together, even though there's not much Halo here. And really, I mean, PAX, I'll say it again.
Halo's presence is still felt.
Yeah, and I say this over and over again. PAX to me is, I would come here even if I didn't have passes for PAX, because to me, it's my family reunion for Halo.
It's actually more fun just meeting the people here. I found waiting in the ridiculously long lines to play the games. That's more of the boring part.
It's weird as well, because like you said, there's actually nothing Halo here this year, and it's been like insane.
I almost feel like I actually wasted money buying PAX tickets. I've barely been at PAX. I missed the first day of PAX Dev because of plane flight stuff. PAX Tech and Pay, Dak Devil, and one useful panel, and I've barely been at PAX
Prime.
The first day of PAX, I spent sleeping. I was sleeping for 24 hours, and you guys were mad at me because I wouldn't wake up.
The first day that you were able to attend.
Yeah.
It was the first day none of us attended.
I remember sleeping the previous night, and then it was the exact same time I fell asleep the next day. And it's like, a day has passed.
I tweeted him like, yo, dude, where the f*** are you? At like 6 p.m. And then I got a reply at like 7 a.m. the next morning. I was sleeping. Why are we always sleep at 6 p.m.? I don't even know. I'm not going to
lie. Pack 6 out of you, man.
Yeah.
Just take it out of you.
Yeah.
I mean that's a good point, though, because I didn't hit the show floor until today, the third day of PAX.
Yeah.
He wasn't sleeping, though.
Friday I was at the studio with everyone else here, and then Saturday I was doing a photo shoot with the 405th, and then I was walking around town with them catching Pokemon.
Yes, yeah, I
still play Pokemon Go.
Hey, man. Pokemon Go is a pretty good game.
It's okay.
Yeah, this year I've been so busy, I'm not even able to get on the floor until tomorrow. You know, we had the community event day on Friday, and yesterday, a bunch of my team members, I wasn't able to finagle my way into getting them into the community event. So we got a walkthrough of the museum by ourselves, and we got to get copies of Warfleet signed by Kenneth Peters, the writer, which it's we're pretty excited about here at Sins of the Prophets. So yeah, I mean, and then today, we've been running around with Halo community guys for most of it, so tomorrow's my first day to finally get to play games. Hopefully, the place has got less people in it.
Fingers crossed. It should be.
It's PAX. You're not going to get to play anything.
Very true.
Well, like, so far, I've been at PAX now for 2 days, like, at the event for 2 days. I have played, a total of 2 games. I played World War II yesterday.
Which is obviously the best Halo game ever.
Of course. Like,
Call of Duty World War II, the best Halo game?
Yeah.
We got a whole... We got a whole bunch of Halo people playing that. It was like lore versus multiplayer.
Gotta say, not only did the lore team win, but your boy over here main lead. So, lore kids can still stat. But also today, I played some VR game. I've literally only played 2 games, but it's been a fucking blast so far.
Last year, I got to play like 2 games too, so I'm actually behind on this year's quota.
I thought about waiting in line for a couple games, but then I realized they're going to be releasing in a month anyway. I'd rather have my first experience with those games be in the comfort of my own home.
What's wrong with you?
No. Well, I think that's actually one of the issues that PAX is starting, or at least from the Halo community, PAX is starting to feel, is that a lot of these games, I mean, Destiny was a big one, but Destiny really didn't have a presence much at PAX because it's coming out in literally a day.
Yeah, it's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Well, a month if you're going to be waiting for the real version, which is the PC version.
All right. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. But it was in its own sectioned off area. Like, it had its own area, which is pretty impressive, but...
It was nice as hell, but like...
Yeah, you're leaving the main PAX area.
It's like a 5-10 minute walk as well.
Not even. It's like a block and a half. It's actually pretty dead. We just took the long ride route.
And then, I mean, the things I attend PAX for is merch and panels. Yeah. And to me, the only merch that I was interested in was the Master Chief Penny from Loot Crate. And I mean, the only other thing that I saw at PAX this year that really was awesome, and I actually spent plenty of time over there, is the Exploding Kittens. And do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That thing, isn't that thing ingenious?
I mean, that's a way to put it.
I stood there for an hour watching because of just how many different variations of random items and things that they did. It was awesome.
I mean, I played a pretty cool VR game today. It was basically Titanfall VR, kind of obviously on rails because movement sickness is a big VR problem right now, which Mike was actually saying today at the panel. It was really cool though. Like, I'm massively into VR stuff, so putting me in like a massive mech with like miniguns and rockets and railguns and stuff is so badass. So that game was dope. I completely forgot what it's called. They gave me a free download of it, and I've forgotten what it's called, but it was sick.
Well, and I think that's where a lot of the interest in PAX is kind of focused into now, because a lot of the VR stuff is new. You don't have that in a lot of consumer places or homes yet, and there's a lot of content out there that not everyone's going to get to play. So that stuff makes sense to be a PAX experience, but a lot of the games and like Twitch's booth was huge this year. So yeah. it's just floor space that's not really useful.
Yeah, there. I saw a lot of Counter-Strike, I guess, on like different types of computers and stuff, as well as I saw a lot of people playing PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, and it wasn't even the Xbox One version. That's not. It was the PC version.
That's
I was just
the weirdest
like,
thing.
Why?
Ever, yeah.
Like why?
I can play. I can be at home and play
there
CS.
Be more
and
interesting
I can play,
games there that people can, don't have yet.
I can play Battlegrounds and CS at home and H1Z1 as well. Why would I come here and play games that I already own, unless it's like a tournament or something?
Well, for some of it, it's the hardware vendor trying to sell you on how good their game looks on their hardware. But they're like Asus and Intel and Logitech.
It's Counter-Strike,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
It's kind of been capped.
But at some point, I mean, I can understand where, because people play Counter-Strike and Unknown Battlegrounds, those are the big titles on PC that really draw in a crowd. So you want to use that kind of staple to sell your own hardware product. So I get that. But none of us here are really interested in that.
Things, though, if you want to be good at CSGO, you play an 800 by 600 resolution. Bars on the side of your screen. Crosshair more centered in the right in the middle. So it's. There's a little less space to move. Actual fact.
I would just want to point out one thing. Last year, there were two 343 booths at PAX. There was one for Halo 5. There was one for Halo Wars 2. Halo 5 had already been out for over a year at that point. The fact that there were no 343 booths at all here, and really no 343 presence at all, is really disappointing.
I'm surprised that Terminus Firefight wasn't there. I get why Halo 5 wasn't, because...
Yeah.
Like, come on, it is... 2 years now since release.
Yeah, but Terminus Firefight should have had a booth.
Not even Halo 3 backwards compatibility.
Yeah,
or ODST, that would have attracted a lot of people.
No areas backward compatibility at all. That is shameful.
That is weird.
And this is even though they did make an Xbox booth for some reason.
Yeah, that's
a real
good point.
They didn't even like in there tack on something about Terminus Firefight, which would have been, you know, a natural opportunity, but...
How do you feel about that, Dustin?
I was very surprised because we've seen Terminus Firefight at San Diego, at E3, at Gamescom, and E3 and Gamescom are the
big ones. Right here in their backyard, there was no Terminus Firefight. They are 20 minutes away. They couldn't get together to do that. I realize, you know, it's not great to be all super negative, but I really think they dropped the ball here. In their own backyard, they couldn't even get Terminus Firefight up. Like... As a Halo Wars 2 enthusiast, I'm not happy about that. And I think that they should have done better.
For a trip to 343, you know, they let us play Terminus Firefight there. And I mean, that was a lot of fun. I can imagine like a bunch of people at PAX all getting together.
Yeah. And I here's another thing too. If it's Xbox's call or 343's call. And
that's a good question.
That's something that we don't know. And
it's probably Xbox's.
It would have been Xbox's. They managed to, they'll have like the umbrella marketing. They'll control that. So,
but it still sucks because
because
it was at E3 and Gamescom, which those two are much bigger game conventions. Those are industry level conventions.
Yeah.
And they had it at San Diego. They even had it at RTX.
Trying to understand what's going on from.
Well, they didn't have it at San Diego. Sorry, they did not have it at San Diego. They had it at RTX, not San Diego.
The Awakening, the Nightmare marketing, it's. Notice they're not going all in, and it's kind of a bit weird. Like, PAX of all things would be where you'd really want to do the final push for Awakening the Nightmare.
And it's not here.
And it's just, no.
Yeah, it's the last event.
I think it's perfectly valid to try to speculate about what's going on internally. But there also has to be a point where we as fans and community influencers, as you said yourself, have to say something. Because it's important that we communicate when they're messing stuff up.
I just think it's really weird that the expansion comes out in, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
And it's not here? Like, like you said, it's literally...
It's like they've already started putting the dirt over the coffin, and they've not even...
I'm not as passionate and angry about it.
Oh, no, I'm not either. I just
this is something we have to discuss now.
Well, the thing is, I'm a moderator for the Halo Wars subreddit, and so I feel like I have to be vocal with commentary about this, because... I'm speaking for a lot of people, and they don't have the opportunity
and
to be here.
To be
talk.
Fair, it's a reasonable thing to talk about. It's like, why isn't it there?
Yeah. That's a great question.
I think it's more,
and
like,
somebody should be made to answer.
I mean, I can
any kind of answer.
We need to pull him out.
No, I'm not saying. I'm not saying
drag him through the city
fire.
By his internal.
I'm just saying somebody needs to be like, hey, this is why we didn't do that.
maybe, honestly, they were so cut up with the community stuff.
It could be. I mean, we did experience a lot of community stuff, but at the same time, to Unikraken's point, there is builds out there that they've had for convention show floors and all that stuff that they could have just pushed the build to Xbox dev kits and had them on the floor. I mean, yeah, it's not something that's that difficult to set up for a convention.
It's weird. I mean, I'm not like all het up about it.
Especially
I've played
flood.
It already, but
imagine how cool it would be seeing on the show floor like a giant flood statue, like the Juggernaut or the Abomination, I guess they're calling it now in Halo Wars 2.
Yeah.
Time firefight. It would be pretty cool seeing a gigantic abomination there.
Or somebody walking around in like a massive like rubber Juggernaut suit. massive whips and tentacles. Yeah.
So at E3, the big line was Sea of Thieves. At PAX, Sea of Thieves is there. There's a pretty significant line there, but a lot of the other games are short lines. Even the PUBG line was kind of small.
Cuphead was hidden in a small corner.
Dude,
I had to look for Cuphead.
I meant to play Cuphead. I didn't even know it was here.
Yeah, it's had it.
It's there.
I thought it was pretty easy to find, but they had it at ID at Xbox 2 years ago with the developers there and everything. It was pretty cool. You could have played it.
Mic closer.
Oh, got it.
It's something that I you think a first party title they would try to get on the show floor.
Yeah.
Especially something that's Halo.
It's weird, but
well, some could argue right now, I guess, like, you know, Microsoft is getting a little bit of flack for the lack of creativity. It's just like a lot of Halo and Gears of War. And so, like, I guess it would make sense that, I mean, even, you know, there's a lot of conspiracy theories about what's going on with Halo 6. Why haven't they showed it yet? It's probably just because they've noticed the flack they're getting for not putting more attention to
other
titles.
There's some very valid reasons, multiple valid reasons as to why they've not shown Halo 6. Like, I could list them down, like, there are very valid reasons why Halo 6 hasn't been shown off.
Cuphead doesn't get overshadowed.
There you go.
Well, there's the writer's strike. The voice actor strike. So it's not like they can record any dialogue for, like, I think all their characters. Because even Steve Downes and Jen Taylor, who I don't think are part of the guild.
They're not part of the
guild or whatever, the union. But they're standing with them.
They're respecting it, yeah.
Yeah, because for anybody listening, the kind of what's going on is that now when you do voice acting, you have to do facial capture too for the characters. And some companies want to pay people the same for the voice acting that they did before, even though now they're actually doing real acting in a studio with motion sensors all over face. And even though that doesn't really affect characters like Chief or the Spartans, it's the whole industry.
So it's a really shitty thing to do because, like, they're literally doing not even double the work because, like, they still have to do all the voice acting stuff. And they still have to do all the voice acting stuff, and then all the added emotion that they're thrown into it, and also exaggerate the emotion just because it's mocap. Like, to pay them the same thing is like legit scamming them.
Can you imagine a Halo 6 trailer or sneak peek that didn't have any audio, any voice? Like, the fans would go nuts.
Well, of course they can't. One happened in 2013 where a certain chief had a poncho on.
I thought you were
a big space owl came out.
Poncho chief. Some people were pretty upset about that.
I think you mean the War Sphinx. That's what we all know it was.
Oh, I remember those theories. I'm pretty sure, was it Grim actually that confirmed that it wasn't a War Sphinx? I thought it was, yeah.
Was it Frank? I thought it was Frank.
Grim. It was Grim. It was a few days after. Everyone was like, oh no, 100% it's a War Sphinx. And then a few days after, lo and behold, it's
Well, it was funny because in Halo 2 Anniversary's cutscenes, there was a Sphinx or something in the background. They all know the holo.
Oh, on the hologram.
Yeah. You want to go on that one?
It wasn't a Sphinx. It was the E3 Space Owl.
Oh, it was the E3 Space Owl.
But basically a Guardian.
So, all right. So they had that. Oh, by the way, this is the Chunky Bean from Installation 01 talking now.
He's back.
Can they just retcon the term Guardian and replace it with Space Owl, because that's so much more funny.
I love the word.
it's like man cannon.
The forerunner Space Owl.
Yeah.
The Dreadnought.
Chief, take out that Space Owl now.
I mean, they'd be like Johnson's like a little nickname for it. Oh,
no,
wait,
sir.
He's dead.
Class frigate or whatever they're gonna call it.
I can see Johnson being like, Chief, you got one of those damn Space Owls in orbit.
We got the take damn Space Owls.
Yeah, but it's something that hopefully next year we'll see more Halo content. I know it kind of sucks this year, but it has been giving us an opportunity to really spend time with each other as a community, and I think that's been invaluable.
Yeah, I gotta say, this, community-wise, this has been so much fun. So many new people, so many people's first times at PAX.
Yeah, this is my first time.
And I'm no longer a noob.
Yeah. And next year is going to be a pretty heavy year, and I think more people are going to be trying to come. I know not everyone is coming. I think most people are. I think there's a few that aren't, though. And next year is going to be a huge convention year for Halo, I have a feeling. So it'll be it's kind of good in a really strange way that we're all getting the chance to meet each other and get to know each other and see where we all fit in the community. And then when we come next year, we'll already know each other and be able to really envelop ourselves in the Halo experience instead of a little bit more over the community experience.
It's like with a trilogy, you know, like the first one is kind of like setting the stage like for the adventure and stuff. The second movie in the trilogy is usually all the characters getting to know each other, see what takes. And then third the movie finale is when all shit hits the fan.
So you're saying the first movie
this is the Empire Strikes Back of
so you're saying the first movie. So the first movie is meeting online, the second movie is meeting in person at convention, the third one is launch year?
Yeah.
The first movie is actually buying the tickets because
that's the Return of the Jedi.
See, I thought we were going, this is like the first year everybody's getting together. Next year we're going to have the game, and the year after we're just going to bitch about it 24/7. Yeah.
I can't wait for those long nights where we're just like, dang, you know what Halo 6 could have done better? Playable elites.
But you know, there's good things that'll happen next year because of this year. Like, we won't be as bored in line because we'll know more people.
That's true.
And we won't be like struggling to send Twitter messages to each other. Because we'll have other cell phone numbers.
And, or some of us won't be sleeping actually, for 24 hours.
Could I tell a funny story about this PAX? So, Halo Canon, Ian, a total freak over here will know this story, but we were with the Ultimate Halo people and Uber Nick during the PAX show floor. Uber Nick. And so we thought we could be clever and go downstairs by taking these back alley stairs in the conference room. And you'll see a video about this in a couple days, but we all got locked.
I led them in there.
Yeah. I made here's some stairs. And we're like, all right, we're going. Let's go. We go down the bottom and it's like locked. It's like, all right. Then we're like, wait a minute. Top one better not be locked. It turns out to be locked. And there's only one other person out of the group, which was Fletch. And he's looking for us. And we call them. He's like, dude, you got to be careful. Just don't close the door. Click. What just happened? He's like, I locked myself in. So he was in a completely other hallway. And so we were just banging on the door singing the Halo theme, and it finally worked out. Security guy came and was like, what the hell is going on in here? I was like, oh, you know, just a bunch of Halo nerds stuck in a hood.
I like how you threw in that you're singing the Halo theme to call for help.
Happened. And Ian was on the vocals the whole time. More of the guitar riff, actually.
Too bad Marty was the one to hear your call and let you. Yeah. He would be like, I've heard that tune before. Like a mile
away. Are you talking about meeting Marty? You talking about Marty already?
Oh, we did a little bit, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, I met Marty O'Donnell.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Right?
So did all of us.
I think Greg talked about him a little bit.
Okay. So he's already covered it. But yeah, no. This is like my first time ever doing anything cool like this. Meeting everyone, because I mean, I communicate with everyone here online all the time.
Yeah.
And,
Hashtag blame Bean.
Yep, blame Bean. Thank you. That's a good one.
For the particular folks, we always blame Beowulf, but yeah.
So what do you think about the Halo community now that you've actually had a chance to get together and meet people in physical space?
I mean, even though it's got its toxicity at times, I still think it's a great community. I mean, better than anything I've ever been previously a part of. But actually meeting everyone in person, it's kind of like, it's hard when you're like that one guy at school and all you want to do is talk about is Halo. But no one else is like into it anymore. So when you get to this big group of people just talk about Halo,
high school again, only like, everyone's in on your.
What can I even talk about? Like, everyone's already talking about it. So, but it's great.
There's only one group of people who like Halo to be crazy enough to run around like a crazy pier that feels like it's about to fall apart to find out a comic shop where they can buy the latest Atriox comic.
Yes.
But it is cool that you're here, the rest of the I-01 guys, and you, Late Night.
Yeah.
Because this is your first PAX. And I know you slept the whole day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Basically.
Guys, I just woke up 1 a.m.
Basically, so last night, we all get a text message around 11 o'clock at night after not hearing from Late Night for a while. And he says, hey, guys, I'm up.
We're like, dude, we're just leaving now, going to bed.
So that's the time when we learned that Taras is actually a vampire. Thankfully, he does not sparkle.
Ever wonder why it's called late night gaming? Well,
there you go. All got mad at me. So I just went back to bed.
All right. I have proposed the name.
Screw this. I don't
sleeps
this.
All day gaming.
Sleeps all day. All night gaming. all day gaming.
But even though like there was not much game stuff on the floor, there was some pretty cool stuff that got released. We got the Warfleet books. There's the other book.
I mean, you got the Warfleet.
Oh, yeah, the book.
There's Retribution.
Yeah, Retribution, which I just know as the book with the Brute and the Spartan 3 in the cover. And it looks too cool to not read.
I got Fractures.
And there's, we got
both.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And there's the Rise of the Atriox comet.
Yeah, the Rise of Atriox.
Actually, funny enough, one of those posters that we got was only 117 of them were made. And it turns out Greg actually got the 117th.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Wow.
You had the 117th one. The poster, right? Poster.
No, it was
Isabel.
It was Church who got the 77th out of 117.
Oh, 77th. Okay, well, still sevens then.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I actually have a little bit of a story about how we got our copies of Warfleet. So I saw on Twitter that there were leaks coming out about Warfleet. So I figured out some bookstores weren't following the rules and were releasing it early because it was supposed to release on September 5th. So when we figured out that we were going to be going to the Halo Museum the next day for the rest of my team, Sins of the Prophets, in order to take a look around at the museum, we started hunting around. I started calling all the bookstores in the area, asking them if they had Warfleet. And, several of them were like, yeah, we have it, but we're not allowed to open it until the 5th. And I was like, look, we're about to go meet up, the next day with the lead writer of the book. I'd really like to be able to get a signature, Can you work with me? I finally found a bookstore that had three copies that was willing to work with me. So that was pretty rad.
Nice. Was it the Barnes & Noble's at the mall?
It was the Barnes & Noble at the mall. I hope I don't get anybody in trouble.
So I guess Barnes & Noble at the mall is never going to get another copy of Halo.
Well, the important thing is I got my copy.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
So here's about the actually, future. In the past, whenever other Halo books have come out, people have gone to that bookstore and gotten the Halo books before official street dates, I think.
They're good people.
We should probably edit this out so Microsoft legal team doesn't lie.
Nah, it's not that big of a deal to them. It happens for a lot of stuff in the retail industry.
It's honestly really cool to see all this new blood coming here to it because last year...
Nice Halo reference.
Nah. Well, in 2014, it was my first PAX, and I was the newbie, and I don't think anybody new ever came to them except for you, Ian, Halo Canon, Toa Freak, /. Oh, well, yeah, in the sense of Promise Guys last year's.
I, Lavo, and also Malcontent were also new that year, and I believe Unikraken was new as well. So for us three, the Sins of the Prophets team, this was the first time that any of our team had come to PAX.
What I'm trying to say is I'm no longer the newbie, but it's fun to help do what others did for me to help get people involved in the Halo community, and Dustin being one of them.
Yeah, it's been quite a while that it's because this is my seventh PAX. This is your third?
Fourth. Wait, no. Yes, fourth. But it's been the third year I've come here, which is kind of weird.
Oh, okay.
I came here in 2014. 2015, 2016, now it's 2017.
So this is your fourth one?
Yeah, it's my fourth.
Because I remember, I don't think, were you showing off SPV3 in 2014?
I bet he's shown off SPV3 like every year.
Since 1998. No. The Green Skull actually was nice enough to get me passes that first year after the trailer kind of went viral. And that led one thing to another, and it was kind of weird because I was just like a little niche part of its own little Halo community, and it's like, oh, like you're welcome into the rest of it.
Yeah,
it's crazy how welcoming the Halo community is to modders and stuff, because when people first hear the word modding, they always assume that it's people working on exploits or hacks or something like that. So the Halo community has been really welcoming and open to pretty much every facet of the community, so it's really great.
I think that's one of the benefits and one of the really cool things about the Halo community was we have so many people, and just a testament to this podcast right now and everyone that's in this room. We've all come in at different stages of, I guess, kind of the Halo community being built into PAX in a way. And it's awesome to see just so many different facets of the community come together. And to your guys' points, it's modders, it's creators, it's YouTube personalities, lore nuts, mythic runs. The spectrum is huge.
And just super fans.
Is there anything that we don't have?
competitive.
I mean, there were some competitive esports people here this year, but not many.
Not very well.
I know, not having Naked Eli here has sucked the past 2 years.
Yeah, but there's not a huge competitive scene as far as anything else. Racing scene isn't quite there. It's kind of small. There's a very small contingent of Griffballers here, but it's been bigger in the past. The big team Battle Folks not here. There's some small pockets of the Halo community that aren't representative here, but it's still, for the people that are here, it's a pretty decent amount of people.
Yeah,
some of the other ones that are not in this room specifically, but we did see at the community there are some of the community artists, like TD Spiral was there, and he was here? Yeah. Yeah. Garrett Post, yeah, he was here. And there's some other community artists in the group. I don't know if any Forgers were here this year, but we've had Forgers in the past. And yeah, like there's a whole gambit of different categories of Halo community interests that we've seen at PAX. And it just keeps widening and growing. And granted, it kind of fluxes from year to year, depending on who can come. But I have a feeling next year is going to be pretty wide gambit of community personalities.
One thing always stays consistent, though. Louis Wu.
the Halo community
Godfather of Halo. He's like the Knight's King of the Halo community.
Pretty much, yeah.
If anything ever happens to him, we're all dead.
Yep.
Like, our community is gutted.
Claude Herrera has... He's one of the reasons why the Halo community is where it is today. It
even exists. Absolutely. Really.
Or, yeah, pretty much.
For the days of, you know, Facebook and Reddit and Twitter and...
There was
whatever.
HBO.
There was, yeah, whatever, you know, back when people
back
were still...
Back in the dark times before the days of social
back
media.
Back in the dark times when we only had 56K, and if you were lucky, and that was only if you were lucky, most people had, like, 14K modems.
You know what's crazy is that he recognizes so many people. He's able to fit so many faces in his head. You know, we met him last year, and we're a tiny little mod thing, and he recognized me this year. It was crazy.
Yeah, he's a real good guy. I mean,
he's amazing.
I mean, literally, there would not be a community without him. Like, even if you
or there wouldn't
HBO,
be a community but, like this at the very least.
Yeah, I mean, even you know, even when you know, before there was really any place to connect. You know, he did HBO, he did a site. You know, even before there was YouTube, which sounds crazy.
Yeah, he used to
the video YouTube? Uploads of cutscenes and magazine scans, and
he hosted Podtackler's original Pod TV videos, and he actually hosted the original RVB episodes.
Yeah, well,
I mean, it's just a test. And the first Halo Machinima, Warthog Jump on HBO.
Walkthroughs, trivia, even the weekly updates. Like before Halo was even out, when Bungie used to do weekly updates. Like now we're used to weekly updates. You can even go on HBO, and I did it for a lot of research for the project. But you can go through and find all this information of weekly updates that Bungie employees used to post on the internet. These are like real tangible updates, too. They're like little treasures and like snippets of history. Like that whole place is like a historical archive of like stuff that, you know, frankly today you wouldn't even find it. You know, new, there's so much news and so much like crap that happens on, you know, it's impossible to dig something up, but he like really made an archive, you know, that even to this day like remains a way to understand how things, like a snapshot into a different time.
Yeah,
that's it's kind of a ramble, but
it is,
it's a welcome ramble.
And it's just so, because coming up to it, I got involved in Halo and the podcast stuff in 2006. So I wasn't there at the beginning, but just even jumping in at that point, seeing the evolution of how the Halo community has changed and interests have changed. Because I remember when montages were, well, they're still kind of up there, but machinimas also were a huge focus. And telling stories within the universe. And the Halo community has changed so much. The landscape of what people are interested in is night and day compared to what it was back in the early Halo days to where it is now. But something that's always been there as kind of a foundational point is HBO and what Claude has done to foster communities. I mean, Red versus Blue wouldn't be there. Well, like we said, the Halo community wouldn't be there.
Well,
we wouldn't be there.
Really cool thing is even the new Halo Fleet Battle book would not be there because it was HBO that first started to organize all the ships and extend the lore.
You mean Warfleet?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, Fleet Battles is the I get the two confused.
God rest its soul.
Yeah, rest in peace. Pour one out. Pour some water out of the Halo ring first.
It's interesting how much you can tie back to HBO. The guides,
even
the tips, the walkthroughs, the collections, the artwork.
And that's what I was talking even just
about his own project.
You were talking about your own shit. My own channel. I went to HBO as one of my first and primary sources, and I only started back in 2012 or so, whatever, something around then. But not been that long. But even then, HBO was an important piece to start that up.
You know, it's funny. Actually, can somebody get Hidden Xperia to come over here? Because it'll be good to have him here to put in on this. But I was telling both you and Hidden Xperia about stuff that you can find on HBO because we're talking about like old original story points. And I was saying if you go on HBO and you look close enough, you'll find things about how the Covenant and the Flood had been at war for like a long, long time.
Some cool shit.
Yeah, like that. And I forget what brought the discussion up, but we were talking about, you know, the Covenant and the Flood had been together for a long, long time, and there were little hints of this even in the original story, like the Half-Jaw in Halo 2 saying, "That stench, I've smelt it before," which now talks about the stuff in the Halo graphic novel. But that didn't exist. I remember what it was now. I was talking about how the original suggestion in the game was that the Master Chief released the Flood.
That he was the reason when he went to
deactivate the security system for this installation. And right after that, you lose contact with keys. And it was HBO that really kind of, even before shows like Lost, that was like center of discussion of mystery and theory, you know, and people piecing things together. And then Bungie would weigh in and be like, "Yeah, well, you know, Covenant and the Flood have been fighting against each other for a long time," which made it unlikely that it was really the Covenant who released the Flood.
And wait, did you just mention Lost?
Yes.
Top 5 show.
Oh man,
terrible show. But
we're gonna have a debate about that, like we do about Halo 2.
I'll let you know that after season 3, it sort of went weird.
Well, yeah, that's my thing. I like season 4, but the minute they moved the island.
Oh, like, yeah. That was weird. It was still a dope show.
Sorry, spoilers if you haven't watched a show since like 2007.
It finished in 2010, so.
It was like, what, 2007, I think? Yeah, it was. No, 2008.
Finished May 14th, 2010. Pretty sure it was May 14th. I woke up at 4 a.m. in the UK to watch the finale before school.
Oh, man. But, like, going on by that, like, you know, Lost is kind of an example. You know, maybe that's more, a bit more.
Well, like zombies as well, where you have to piece stuff together from their background to sort of like.
Yeah.
To work out the story. It's not like overtly given to you. It's not just forced in your face. You have to like find things within the environment and within the dialogue and piece them together.
Yeah, even within the background or like little map. Because it's you know, it's weird because like I don't even know how many like Halo stories have come out this year. Never mind Halo Wars. We got Rise of Atriox. We have Retribution.
Envoy.
Envoy.
Was New Blood this year?
No,
last year. That was before 5.
Nah, New Blood was 2015, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was before 5.
And then the physical print in 2016.
Then there was another thing that came out this year. I'm trying to remember what it was.
There was Fractures. There was Tales from Slipspace.
That was last year. So it was Tales.
Tales.
Yep.
Yeah.
Gosh, I am really behind.
It's towards the end of it, but it's almost been a year exactly at this point.
Mythos has almost been a year.
There's another one I'm forgetting, but there's been a buttload of content. Oh, wait, Tales from Slipspace was this year.
No, it wasn't.
That was also last year. It was October.
Anyway, there's been a buttload of content, so much that we can't even remember when it came out.
Yeah.
But anyway, going back to my more original point, was back when the game first came out, you had the instruction manual, the Cortana letters, which were scattered on the internet, which were kind of like cryptic messages.
Which are amazing.
Yeah.
Which have a lot
now completely irrelevant. Well, yeah. More relevant now after 5, which is kind of
which
cool.
Which have a lot of links to modern Halo, sadly.
But you had that. You saw what I say. You had the in-game little booklet. You had the Cortana letters, a couple of snippets of the Halo story Bible and the strategy guide, and you had Halo 1, and then you had Fall of Reach. And HBO is where people, you know, piece together little theories based on that. Even things that were like as minute as like the waterfall and assault in the control room, like were discussed on this on HBO.
This is such a cool theory.
Yeah. Well, the theory was that if the control room were ever compromised and the area heated up, that waterfall would flood the canyon. And if you look at the doors going to the control room, it's actually an airlock. And that was like a revelation that came out of HBO.
I only just realized that, you know, when you open those doors, it makes like the most like obvious airlock sound. You can hear like the air pressure changing. That sound, yeah.
And you can't, I think you can't have them all open at the same time either.
No, you can't. No, they close. They close before you get to the next one.
Yeah, so, you know.
Keeps the pressure.
You know, it kind of sucks.
Because, unless you use a Banshee.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, even stuff like that, like little exploits like that and funny
Halo Envoy would have been one other book released this year.
Okay.
That's the one that you were thinking of.
But, you know, it's just like crazy. Like, the story of Halo and the attachment to the lore would not happen without HBO. And I remember when First Strike came out, and I believe it was November 3rd, 2003, people were just waiting for that. And I remember going on HBO and, man, at that point, it was the GameFAQs forum, which is so embarrassing.
Oh, God.
To bring up.
Oh, wow. Talk about long time.
But it gives you like a state of mind of like what it was, the community was like. And like the lore of Halo would not, probably wouldn't even taken off if it wasn't for HBO, at least among the really hardcore fans.
It's really ironic how the exact same thing happened with Call of Duty Zombies, like almost word for word. The reason the story is so big right now is because people scavenge the maps and look for the like the tiniest little markings on walls and like radar antennas outside the map and sort of start piecing the story together. And then finally the final map for World at War came out, Darius, and that actually had the first sort of like coherent story in it. And at that point everyone was like, we've sort of like, something's happening now, like it's cool. And like you were saying, that's sort of thing is very similar to what happened with HBO. It's a really cool thing where things hidden in the background of maps and stories and stuff and dialogue can be put together to create like a bigger thing. I love that type of storytelling.
Yeah, it's a shame that we have to, well, or that we feel the need to educate people on this, but it would be really cool to like do some sort of YouTube channel or series where we went back through the HBO archives and just talked about the theories and the directions the series could go. And like, there is so much.
I've honestly considered something. Like I had started gathering some resources a few years ago to do like the Halo story before it
exploded.
Yeah, or more or less. I don't remember what I had idea.
To go through a bunch of old flood theories, because I was actually looking on HBO a couple months ago when I was looking for some cutscenes, and I was reading through a bunch of like 2003, I think, flood theories just before Halo 2 came out. A bunch of like crazy shit people were theorizing about, and yeah, I just think that'd be a really cool thing to cover in a video.
Yeah, some of it's really cool. We should definitely do it.
Definitely. We could all appreciate that HBO still runs on Netscape.
You know what's really funny? I remember seeing the forums, people were saying like, maybe we should update the update the site so it's more mobile friendly, especially the forum. And like, I forget who it was, but they like pointed out that there's like two line spaces between forum and everything else so you can tap it with your finger. And they're like, see, it's touch friendly. But that forum is like so ancient too, like the structure. It makes it kind of
like, at this point, the idea of changing it just seems weird. Don't mess with what's iconic.
Well, I remember they were talking about it, and Claude was saying, you know, if I do that, we run the risk of losing our archive of all the discussion. And a lot of that stuff is like still referenced on websites and articles and like,
it's just not even even remotely worth it to lose all that.
Well, you would lose data. Data would become less accessible, you know, data that can't really be mined or transported anywhere.
Well, you could, because there's some, like whenever you do like search for tech issues or whatever, there's usually websites that will mirror other sites. So if you wanted to do something, someone could easily do a project where it's like just absorbing the information in from HBO and then reorganizing it. Granted, it wouldn't, you still have the permalinks to the HBO stuff, but you could have it in a little bit more organized fashion. So that could potentially be done.
Yeah, that'd be quite an undertaking.
I think it was too much effort for him.
And to be honest, I've voted for keeping the same as well.
The community there is now so inactive, it's like heartbreaking if you go look at forums.
There's still activity on those forums.
To be fair,
I see it as like a sort of time portal. You can go on HBO and you can look back at like forum person to like 2001.
Using Netscape Navigator.
Using the world's, I don't want to say worst UI, but most outdated UI humanly possible. But that's one of the like little quirks that it has that makes it so special that I would never want that site to change, ever. Ever, ever, ever.
Yeah, my favorite thing with the old HBO forums is just going back and poring over all the old Stephen Loftus stuff.
Yeah.
Like all the Pillar of Autumn with all the cutouts of all the levels and everything like that. Like all his.
I still regularly look at that. I just recently referenced it without even realizing, oh, that's him. And of course, I'd love just now and again, I'll take like look at up the scale of the Halo universe, which I love that's up to date. Like, I remember years ago when he was finally considering putting Trevelyan in there. And he's like, okay, guys, I want to put Trevelyan in there. And so, what should I put as the next biggest thing? And it's like, oh, because like the next, cause that thing's like the size of Earth's orbit around the sun. Eventually, it was like to settle on, okay, we'll do the sun as the next big thing. But. He's got a sphere 2 AU in diameter.
Jeez.
Yeah. Literally the orbit around the sun. That we know. The Earth's orbit around the sun.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's insane.
It's definitely interesting to see where Halo has come from. And it's kind of funny because we started off with talking about people coming into PAX and the experiences there. And we kind of looped around to people getting into the Halo community and how the community really started with HBO and how that's fostered a lot of growth into current avenues as far as, I mean, really for you, Ian, just the whole lore aspect has been really a staple of HBO, and then there's a whole bunch of other stuff as well.
Oh, yeah.
Coming full circle on that, I want to close this podcast out because it's getting close to midnight and we've had quite a few people come on through this podcast. And some of them are in the other room on the live stream now, but we still have Unikraken here and Toa Freak here. It's been an awesome discussion to have everyone on, and hopefully everyone that's listening to this didn't get too frazzled by the rotation of people in and out of this podcast. Yeah. But yeah, it's been a fun PAX, even though there hasn't been much Halo stuff, and it was kind of unfortunate to not see Halo Wars make a presence on the show floor. But we will be getting a lot of that new content for Halo 5 and Halo Wars coming soon. And there's just, it's been wonderful being able to see the community and just everything that has brought us together this year and years to come.
Amen.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it. Hopefully this cast of characters
kept you entertained.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
hopefully it was interesting enough.
Yeah, it definitely should be. If not, then they're not true Halo fans.
Else, that whole bit about the Masters was going on about like 5 minutes ago, I think that'll, the HBO thing, if nothing else, should be interesting because blast of the past.
It's some Halo history that people should definitely be aware of or at least appreciate. So thanks everyone for tuning in to this special podcast and thanks for bearing with us as we jumped around between people. Remember, you can check us out on our social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, and everyone else has all that fun stuff, and I'll try to collect everyone's information and put it in the podcast post. Hopefully I'll get everyone there. It might be a live list of getting everyone in there, but we'll do our best to get it in there. Also, make sure you check us out on Tuesdays when we record our live shows at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We also have our Friday night game nights with Godzilla T that start at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Ooh. You can check that out on Halo 5. It's usually Lobby's Choice. And then check our Podtacular Club on Xbox for Godzilla T's looking for group posts whenever he's about to do his next Achieving Halo video. That's an opportunity for our community to get involved with some Podtacular video productions. Make sure you check out our podcast network. We're part of a group of gaming-specific shows that includes Critzcast, The Learning Cliff, Work in Progress, How to Murder Time, Guardian Radio, Podcast 76. You can check them out over at thepodcast.com. And that'll be it for us signing out from PAX 2017, or PAX West 2017, or Prime for the gold timies here.
Mm. Always PAX Prime.
Always PAX Prime. So keep on fragging Prime.